Oh, yes, and another good seller was a Jew's harp. And I think we had Jew's harps. That's
one there.
Yes, we had a Jew's harp at 15 cents, but then we had a big deluxe one at 25 cents. So if you really wanted to splurge in music, you could buy a big one. We also had a few kazoos, which sold once in a while. Not too often, but somebody would want to buy one. Then behind that, we had a showcase on the wall, a big wall cabinet, but about just glass. And that was where the violins, guitars, mandolins, and whatever stringed instruments, and the odd trumpet or horn that we had. We didn't go heavy on stocking the wind instruments, but we sometimes had a saxophone or two or a trumpet in stock. And I think that was mainly just as bait. Somebody interested in buying one, see, the musicians would all, who wanted to buy them were usually kind of fussy, but they'd see one there and look at it, and then that was the talking point. I didn't get in on that. The boss then would take over and tell them, what kind would you like? And, well, we'll bring some over for you. And then he'd phone the warehouse in Vancouver, and there'd be perhaps two or three saxophones or trumpets of the type required or arrive, and the customer would be showing them, and, or the prospect, and they'd hope he'd become a customer. Usually he did. And we did not stock drums, although for some reason one time we did have a set, which were known in those days as traps. We did for one time we did have a set of low-priced traps in. And I think it was just a trial. Eventually they were sold, and they didn't restock them. And you could not get every modern record of the up-to-date stuff on cylinder, but most of the standard music was available by cylinder, but you had to wait for a matter of a week or so for them to arrive.
We'll get that on tape, John. You said you didn't stock the cylinder records, but that you could specially order them?
They were ordered specially, because there's not enough call for them to make it worthwhile keeping them in stock.
Was the cylinder considered upscale or downscale?
Slightly obsolete.
So it was passed.
Right? It was passed, but there were still quite a number of these machines around that would work. You see, the people had them, and they'd want a record for it.
Right.
You see, they
all three of these instruments over here are the wind up type, right?
Oh yes, they muscles are like them. I knew at the end of the day when I demonstrated records that I had wound up made a number of windings on that in that little Brunswick in order to demonstrate. There was also a funny thing, a common thing in those days for music stores to play a record player into the street, and they weren't called record players, they were gramophones. They'd play one into the street to putting the latest music on it. Now, before I was in the store, but at the time that Yes, We Have No Bananas was popular, there was a music store on Granville Street across from the Rogers Building, and they played Yes, We Have No Bananas day after day. The people in the Rogers Building, the officers, became very tired of it, and one day somebody opened a window, fired a shot, and hit the gramophone right in its vital spots and put it out of his, killed it. The police were called. The police investigated, they looked at the body and then went to check from the Rogers Building. Well, nearly everybody said they were very glad the machine had been shot. It should have been done before. It was a nuisance. They hoped it didn't play anymore. But nobody would admit shooting it. So the police finally gave up. They couldn't find the murderer, and they dropped the case. I guess they went back and told the music store, for your own good, you better keep your gramophones out of reach of the street.
That being common then, John, to have a record player or a gramophone playing out to the street?
It was very common. You'd go down the street, any in Vancouver, along Hastings or Granville, any place where there are music stores, you'd usually hear one of them blaring forth into the street.
Well, I would imagine it'd be okay to change the music occasionally.
Yeah, well, sometimes they did, but quite often they plugged the popular stuff, you see. And that's why it became tiresome. But even if they did have six or eight selections that they kept putting on, it still would get annoying, you see, because you heard, even if they played Yes, We Have No Bananas only once in 10 times, well, at the end of the day, you'd have heard quite a lot of Yes, We Have No Bananas.
So it would have been a young fellow like yourself who would have to maintain that?
Usually, yes. Of course, store help didn't get paid very much, and usually somebody who didn't get paid too much would be, his labor would be used for that job.
Just show these folks, they've been very patient. Let's just show them the player piano.
But we did order readily available. I believe perhaps some of the bigger music houses, say in Vancouver, like World Music, may have carried some in stock. But we could get them. It took a few days.
How's the music from Rolls, John?
Yes, for the player pianos. There were still enough player pianos around, just as there were these cylinder phonographs, that people would occasionally want one, although they weren't regularly sold.
When did they start making them electric instead of pump?
Well, I think the electric, now that one is, I think, was a see one for, to take a coin in the slot. And I don't know what year those came out, but Jack Legs Diamond, if you've ever heard of him, he was a gangster, or hijacker. He made the mistake of hijacking liquor trucks that belonged to Dutch Schultz, who was in Chicago. And Dutch Schultz didn't like his trucks to be hijacked, so after, I think he warned Diamond to leave my trucks alone. You can take anybody else's, but don't touch mine. After that, another one was taken after that, and Legs Diamond was shoving, according to the newspaper report, he was shoving nickels into a mechanical piano, and they shot him. Somebody just walked into the restaurant, or couldn't be a bar, not a legal bar in those days, at least, and shot him. And so they evidently had mechanical pianos that were electrically operated at that time. Of course, at that time, that's again just when Brunswick brought out their panoprobe with the electric motor, you see, which instead of wind-up. So I imagine that at that time, the motors were coming into use, and if you wanted to pay the price.
The rise of General Electric in Westinghouse, that's what they made their money. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
John, what would be the approximate price of a record?
For a record, generally over 75 cents. But if you want, and that was for the 10-inch record. But and that was the popular. The standard records, or standard and classical, well, some of the standards got by at the 10-inch. But if you got a 12-inch record, which was nearly always classical or a good orchestra, symphony or band, something of that nature, they would run at $1 or more, sometimes $1.50. And of course, they were double-sided records. And I forget how long the 12-inchers played, but the small ones played not quite 4 minutes to the side. One selection to the side. And a very popular record, there were some were vocals, but there was often the popular music usually came out as dance music. The common thing you'd see on the record, Foxtrot, was vocal chorus.
What sort of clothing would you wear in the shop? Anything in particular?
No, just perhaps a sweater or a suit.
Well, reasonably well dressed, though.
Reasonably well dressed. Wouldn't go in too sloppy. Not the way people do today. In a bank, today they were sloppier than even a sloppy clerk in a store would be at that time.
So good dress was important.
Good dress to at least look neat and clean. Now, there was a moving picture that came out probably about 1939. There was Cary Grant and Irene Dunne in it. I forget the name of the movie. But the story starts out, a reporter is walking down the street, a newspaper reporter. He sees a music store and he sees a girl in there. He decides to meet this girl. He walks into the store and there was one girl near the piano who wanted to play him sheet music. But she insisted, he finally picked up a sheet of music and put it on the piano, played that for me. And then he went back to the other girl, the one he wanted to meet, and said, I'd like to hear such a record. So he was taken into the record room. Now that store was laid out very much like Cowan's Music Store. In fact, looking at it in the movie, I could have almost sworn they had been using Cowan's Music Store as the model. It was about that long, narrow store. The record room was in the same location. The pianos, everything was just about the same as Cowan's had it. So I assume that that was a fairly standard type of music store in the 20s and even into the 30s.
How would you spell the name of Cowan's?
C-O-W-A-N. Pete Cowan had an orchestra. And one of them was the name that he used was Pete Cowan's Old Timers, who played old time and country music. But he also had a Cowan's orchestra, which usually had from 3, 4, or 5 pieces to play at dances. And the musicians received, of course, they got good pay. They got $4 for 3 hours. And the leader, I think, got an extra dollar, which might be Pete Cowan. And of course, if they if they played later than that, I don't think they got any overtime. I think they just got about the same rate.